I began this sermon, I was reminded that keeping oneself informed about the world, national, and local news can be exhausting. And this morning, also very, very saddening. One theologian who was prior to our computer age said, preaching should be done with the Bible in one hand and the newspaper in the other hand. Jerry and I have been going over and over trying to remember the name of that theologian. So if some of you remember, shout it out. I believe that he probably used that. I'm not sure that he was the original one. At any rate, be that as it may, I thought it would be a good way to start a sermon on this subject from the Gospel of Mark about blind Bartimaeus. Is there anything that the story from the Gospel can teach us today? One wise person said, the creative challenge of spiritual life is to know enough about the world to be informed and enough about God to be hopeful. I suggest this morning we can learn a lot from the story of Bartimaeus. While his story also appears in Matthew and Luke, Mark's is the only account which gives him a name. And his name, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, means son of honor. The root word refers to worth, dignity, or strength. That Mark implies these qualities in this man who makes his living by begging by the side of the road, relying on the compassion and mercy of others, I think is significant. Given the location, Jericho, which is full of danger and resistance fighters, it was an excellent venue for a healing. Though Bartimaeus was shoved onto the fringes of life happening all around him, he was an intelligent guy, intelligent enough to know how to get Jesus' attention and to appeal to Jesus' sense of compassion and mercy. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me, he shouts. When the disciples attempt to hush him, he persists and gets louder. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Now, identifying Jesus as the son of David might have been his strategy for stopping Jesus. Since he was the first to use this phrase, he added a new dimension to Jesus' identity, which even Jesus' closest disciples had missed. And they're running out of time because Jesus is on his last trip to Jerusalem. Well, Jesus not only hears the beggar, but he stops. A wise person says, the first responsibility of love is to listen. Jesus knew how to listen to God, to others, to himself. He uses that skill now and invites the disciples to bring the blind man to him. Bart, in his enthusiasm, tosses down his outer cloak, which was surely a necessity in his day. His trust in Jesus must must have been complete. He jumps up to go to the Son of David. Jesus asks the same question which he had asked of two of his disciples earlier. What is it you want me to do for you? Say again, what? Isn't it obvious what Jesus should do for Bart? Certainly, we who are sighted assume that Bart will ask for his sight. Jesus shows respect to this man whom others have shoved to the side of the road. What do you want me to do for you? In responding to Jesus, Bartimaeus uses a form of address found in only two places in the Bible, in the New Testament, that is, Rabboni, meaning master, going a step beyond teacher. Respect is met with respect. Honor is met with honor. As Annie Dillard and others remind us, those who have been blind, who suddenly discover their sight, are not all equally enthusiastic and exuberant. Some have experienced difficulty adjusting to a new light, a new life, including negotiating a world that appears larger than they expected. I've been reading about Barbara Brown Taylor's experience with Dialogue in the Dark. It's an exhibit that she describes in one of her books. A group of sighted people are introduced to a virtual tour of ordinary places, a grocery store or a cafe or a park. And they're accompanied by sounds, scents, sometimes even wind blowing. But there's one difference. They do all this in the dark, and they are armed only with a white cane and the voice of their guide. Now, since the guides used in the exhibit are all legally blind, it was billed on the website as the place where the blind do lead the blind. At one point, Taylor is completely immobilized by fear when she's confronted with stepping down from a curb where the sound of horns paralyzes her. At that moment, she realizes how much a blind person carrying a white cane is vulnerable, absolutely at the mercy of the vehicles. And she shivers as she thinks of the number of times that she has seen people glancing down at their cell phones before they're making a turn at an intersection. This exhibit was born when an entrepreneur was asked to develop a rehabilitation center for a friend who had recently become blind. While researching for his project, the designer became aware not only how much unsighted folks had to contend with in their daily activities, but how much they had to deal with folks with very negative attitudes and contentious reactions to their unsightedness. The designer, whose name was Heinecke, realized that he could help others to learn more empathy by taking his rehab center on the road. The exhibit and the accompanying empathic experience have been introduced in over 150 countries. Taylor said these are some of the new learnings which emerged for her. First, no one was embarrassed to be dependent upon anyone else. Second, there were Black, Asian, and white Americans going through this exhibit. I believe it was in Atlanta, Georgia. But no one could tell who was who, nor could they tell who was young or who was old. Since running into the person ahead of you or stepping on their heels seemed to be happening regularly, touch was an inevitable part of the experience, and apologies became redundant. Taylor wondered aloud in her writing if this might be something the churches could adopt. I became curious after I read this, and I did check the Dialogue in the Dark on the web, and interestingly, there was a map, and none appearing in the United States on the map. The effort to lead us to a greater empathic spirit is another learning that I think we can take away from Bart's story. Jesus' response to the request for mercy does not come across as Jesus being arrogant or talking down to Bartimaeus. Rather, Jesus puts him at ease. What is it you want me to do for you? Jesus does not belittle him. Rather, Jesus takes the role of the servant, one who will intercede between God and the human being. And how are we doing with our learnings from Bartimaeus? Bart is smart. He knows what he wants. He knows who's able to give it. And he doesn't hesitate to ask. He appeals to Jesus' compassion and his mercy. Those who've received mercy are more likely to give mercy. Jesus has shown mercy. A new community develops around him. Though the disciples are often clueless about Jesus' identity, that person on the margin, that person at the side of the road, the blind son of Timaeus, can see more clearly who Jesus is than those closest to him. Just like one of the characters in a Kurt Vonnegut novel who says, out on the edge, you can see all kinds of things that you can't see from the center. Walter Brueggemann, a contemporary theologian and Old Testament scholar, says mercy is what makes all the difference. He thinks that this Bartimaeus story carries a wave of mercy from the Old Testament, the Hebrew scriptures, and it continues on. Brueggemann says, whether the world knows it or not, still the world waits for this tender mercy, even as it falls apart in greed and anger and anxiety. I do not know how it is with you today. I personally have felt like blind Bartimaeus, a attempting to navigate through some of the uncertainties in this world. I will confess that to you. My spiritual being knows that what is important is often what we do not see. But my eyes often deceive me and are quick to make snap judgments. In those moments of anxiety, I've called upon Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. But I get in the way of my own healing part of the time. I don't pay attention. I don't listen to the voice of the guide some of the times. I neglect to acknowledge those persons that I'm uncertain how to address. And I confess, I don't know how when it comes to persons who do not have an address. Those visible differences get in the way of actually seeing the person at the margins, the person at the side of the road also has an identity as a child of God. Those who've been pushed to the margins are vulnerable as they travel. People who are fleeing the violence in their own homelands. People who identify differently from the categories of male and female that many of us grew up with. There were only two choices. The numbers of people who are feeling excluded seem to be growing daily. I keep wondering if anyone is listening. If indeed the first responsibility of love is to listen. There is good news, friends, for all of us today. The one who has shown us mercy continues to hear our pleas when we recognize and admit our own blindnesses. Thanks be to God for God's mercy. And let the people of God say, amen.